This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
They're like, well, it's what your aunt would want for us to eat dessert on the day she died, which was also Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to ICYMI. In case you missed it, Slate's podcast about internet culture. And somehow it is almost 2023, which sounds like one of those years that is in the future. And yet it's in 3 weeks. I'm not entirely sure how that happened because it feels like it was just 3 weeks ago that West Elm Caleb was happening, but that was in fact in January. So I clearly have no sense of time. Along with the new year, we are also apparently rapidly approaching ICYMI's second birthday, which will come in March. For those of y'all who have been with us since the beginning, wow, hats off to you. And for those of y'all who are more recent inductees into the ICYMI family, I'm just happy that you're here. As we head into, 2023, the fake year of 2023, and also our third year as a show, I would love to hear from y'all about what you like out of the show going forward, what you like us to keep doing, and most importantly, how you think we should celebrate our birthday. Send us an email at icymi@slate.com or send us a DM to our Twitter account, icymi_pod, just so y'all know, because our team is small, I get all of the emails and the DMs, even if I don't respond, so please be nice and don't say anything that you wouldn't say to my face. With that out of the way, it is time to get into today's episode, which is another ICYMI annual tradition. Last year, we had Josh Gwynn and Tracy Clayton of Back Issue join us to talk about the 2021 internet trends that we wanted to die. Spoiler alert, literally none of them died. And we're going to do it again. This year, I'm joined by Moises Mendez II, a culture reporter at Time Magazine, who y'all have heard on the show before. And joining me in Moises is Kelsey Weekman, an internet culture reporter at BuzzFeed, who I'm so excited is making her first appearance on the show. After a short break, I will be back with Moises and Kelsey to complain about all that 2022 internet that needs to just stop now. It's a really great, fun conversation that takes some, I'm going to say, interesting turns, and I truly cannot wait for y'all to hear it.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I'm back with Moises Mendez II, a culture reporter at Time Magazine, and Kelsey Weekman, internet culture reporter at BuzzFeed. Hi, Moises.
Hello. Thank you for having me once again.
Oh my God. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I was telling my editor, I was like, I'm going to get to complain. And that's quite literally one of my favorite things to do. So I'm ready.
Oh, I love to be surrounded by haters. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, I'm such a big fan.
Oh my God, it's mutual. I'm just like, I say this every week, but I mean it when I say I'm so fucking excited to be here with y'all too. Like, I'm such a big fan of both of you. And every time I see either one of your names on my timeline, I just get so warm and fuzzy inside. I'm just like, these are my friends in my head. Like,
oh my God.
That is such an honor because I've never had anything good to say. So I know it's real.
That is not even true. Okay, so since y'all both listen to the show, I feel like you kind of know what my first question is going to be, which is, what is y'all's first internet memory?
Besides looking up things that I probably shouldn't, I'll go with viral YouTube videos. Like, first one I could think of is like shoes, if everyone else remembers. Like, honestly, one of the best moments on the internet. Charlie the Unicorn, Charlie with My Finger, all of those fun things.
So I think my first internet memory was probably watching like Mad TV videos on my iPod Touch after I was supposed to have put away my devices for the night. Or I was very invested in this website that no one remembers called teens.aol.com, which was, it was the media for children. So I started early, and I remember they had this thing where you could vote on who was, like, best dressed, what was your favorite song. You could vote on everything. So I was just very invested in that, like, democracy of voting for JoJo's Leave Get Out over some other mediocre song as the best of the week.
Icon.
The talent.
Icon.
I feel like we've started off on a really positive note, but unfortunately, that's not what we're here for today. We're here to be haters. So to get us prime for today's episode, what's the first thing you remember seeing online that made you go, oh, God, maybe this is all a mistake. Maybe we should nuke the internet out of existence.
I think that mine would have to be maybe like aim away messages or something. Like, that's not even, that's like on a personal level. It's not even like viral content. It's just like, why were we fully putting like Linkin Park lyrics in our away messages? That or like Lemon Party or something like absolutely atrocious.
I don't know that one. What is Lemon Party?
No, guys. This isn't safe for air. It was one of those, I'll just say it was one of those like gotcha images where you click on a link and it's like something absolutely like horrifying.
There were a like bunch Blue of Waffle. Them.
Like Goatsy was another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
The urge to Google this now is really strong, but I'm gonna
probably don't do it. Yeah. Well, I mean, in the same vein, like, you know how like when you're in school and people are telling you all these like really bad like videos, very explicit ones that you probably should not be watching as a child, like Two Girls, One Cup. I was like, I know it's gonna trigger people, but that was just one of the moments as a young child being like, who let us do this? Why are we here?
That is,
and I'll never recover.
So true. Because if you think about it, I don't think any of our parents would be able to say what Two Girls, One Cup is. And yet all of us as small children with non-developed brains have that just burned into it. And that was maybe a mistake.
It was. It was the biggest mistake. I think we should have had parental controls for that. For sure.
But then would we be where we are today if we weren't brain poisoned at such an early age?
Yeah, exactly.
I probably wouldn't need therapy.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's perfect. We're in the mood. This is the exact mood that I wanted to be in. And so we're gonna zoom in to this year, 2022, which is almost over, thank God. And we're gonna think about all the, you know, wonderful and great things that it's given us. So I think the easiest way for us to do this is to kind of go through our list in a countdown, you know, a la Beyonce. So we're going to start with the things that, you know, it's fine. It can stick around. You don't like it. But if it stays until 2023, it's okay. And then we're going to end with, if I see this one more time, I'm closing my laptop, throwing it into the sea, and then moving into a lighthouse by that sea that has no Wi-Fi.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm there.
Great. So I'll go first with my current least favorite trend, which is, I think, really goes to show that I'm a hater. It's those, this is a day in your 20s TikTok videos. I fucking hate them.
Especially the ones at like big companies too. Oh my God. Like the LinkedIn ones or like the Google ones. And I'm like,
yes,
girl.
Yes.
Go you for going to the office all the time. That's not me. Love no. you, no. but it's not happening.
I don't like them. They're too like self-aware and coy mm-hmm. where they're just like, I'm going to kind of make one right now because I don't want to play anybody's because truly it's so innocuous. I don't want to drag anybody who's in this trend, but it's the ones where it's like you wake up and you have no idea what time it is because you have blackout curtains that you could finally afford on your minimum wage job. You finally get a bed because you've been taught from a young age that productivity is key. And even though you're trying to unlearn it, you can't help but feel guilty whenever you take a little time off. Shut up. Just shut up. I don't care.
I hate it. Oh,
oh, there's so much to hate. Okay. My first one, okay, I am sick and tired of Be Real and Be Real copycats. Let me explain.
Wow. No, please. I never downloaded it, so this is making me feel really good.
Same.
Thank you. I mean, I enjoy looking at my friends' computer screens once a day. You know, like, it's really fun to zoom in on that, but that is, like, the only purpose it really serves in my life. And mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I think people should be performing on social media. That way we all know it's fake. Nobody's pretending wow. that this is what their life wow. is really like. Like, no one, we are going on Instagram and we are gonna, going on Instagram isn't just checking up on your friends. You're like playing Instagram, you know? You're like, mm-hmm. you're mm-hmm. jumping into a highlight reel. You're not worried about, oh my gosh, did I post the realities of my boring desk job today? No, like I'm sick. Why is it on TikTok? Why is there a Be Real TikTok feature? Why is there an Instagram TikTok feature? I don't want to see that. I will continue to post on Be Real every day because I don't want there to be like a blank spot in my streak. Like that's not acceptable for me. But I think that we need to bring back being fake on social media.
Honestly, totally. I agree. I kind of feel like ours are in the same vein. Where the annoying thing about the In Your 20s videos is that they're supposed to be realistic. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. That's not real.
Perform for me.
It was like, if it was real, you'd be in bed on your phone all day. And that's not a fun video to make.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, making social media into a game makes it less terrible.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the longer you're on it, the more you hate yourself. So, yeah. you know, just do the little game and then you'd leave and it's fine.
And if someone's on vacation and you're at work, it's like, oh, well, they had the rich parent cheat code or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, like you just kind of can dismiss it more easily than like, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. She had a bad time at that resort. Like, mm-hmm. oh, that must be tough that they ran out of margarita mix.
I feel so sorry for you.
I think the trend that I would like to see peter out is the multiple part story time videos on TikTok, but then they're anticlimactic at the end. And I've wasted like 10 minutes of my life watching two part videos of like literally nothingness. And I'm like, why did I watch this? I could have done something else. I could have watched a whole episode of Bluey. Like,
not Bluey.
I think going off of that, something on my list later that I'll just like throw in now is when you have to tell a story like set to a TikTok song, like Super Freaky Girl or like Bad Romance.
I was
going to
say that. Oh my God.
This is my story about how I fell off of a bicycle set to that one song that I can't remember. And no one is on beat when they do it. And it's so fucking annoying.
Exactly. Like, I saw this one about, like, someone's aunt dying the day before Thanksgiving.
I saw that one, too.
That was actually good.
Yeah.
Let's get on a plane and fly across the country to eat at your house. We spent the night. The very next morning, my aunt makes the bold, creative decision on Thanksgiving morning with all of our family there to do this thing called dying.
He did it correctly and no one else should do it. That is so
done.
True.
Exactly.
You actually, Kelsey, kind of preempted my second trend that I want to die, which is part twos to videos.
if people don't speed the fuck up, if they don't start taking notes about how they're going to like tell this story, I need a clear beginning, middle, and end.
I'm right there with you, especially when it comes to like doing something while, you know, telling a story is really annoying to me too. And that's what was going to be my next one, was like making coffee. But like the absurd like amounts of sugar that people put in their coffee stresses me out. And I'm like, and then they're like, yeah. And then, you know, we, you know, broke up and it wasn't that great. But like, and just like keep pouring creamer and sugar and caramel. I was like, oh, I'm scared for you guys. I'm scared for the future.
Well, I can't relate. I like for my coffee to taste like a milkshake. It's
not me. I'm sorry. I like a little bit of creamer and that's it.
I do understand what you're saying, because sometimes they'd be adding not only sugar, but caramel and chocolate syrup, and then also whipped cream, and I'm just like,
Kelsey, just do you have something
to tell
us?
Just drink a milkshake at that point. I don't understand. Prepare your coffee. Sorry, am I dragging you right now?
If you were dragging me, that would be fine. Okay. Sometimes it's okay to get dragged. I don't drink my coffee like that because I don't make my coffee. I buy it. Like,
oh my God.
Go off, honestly.
Oh no, I'm being real. I'm being real again. I broke my own rule.
Stop being real. We're here to be haters. What's your next trend that you hate?
My next trend that I hate, you know what? This is kind of related too. I think that we should ban all serial killer content, just any of it. I don't think we need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
But also, doing makeup while you're talking about gruesome murders needs to be banned.
Wait, tell me why this was actually one of Madison's things that need to die in 2021.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And it just did it. It just did it. Yeah.
She accidentally manifested Jeffrey Dahmer's Netflix series.
Oh my gosh, she put it out there.
The Ryan Murphy serial killer cinematic universe that's coming.
I guess maybe I'll amend mine to make it different from Madison's. Just Ryan, maybe Ryan Murphy needs to stop. Actually, ooh, I want his ass in a room recording a Glee tell-all or nothing at all.
I mean, also, back to the serial killers, I watched the new season of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Terrible. So bad. It's just about gay men dying. So, like, please stop.
I call it I called it Scary Pose. It was like if they made Pose scarier, which Pose was good. But they were like, what if it was all a metaphor?
Not Scary Pose.
What if there was a scary figure looming and it was AIDS, just like exactly like we already did, and like makes everyone really sad, and they did
it.
No, I think that's fair. Serial killer content, I say this as a girly who grew up watching Criminal Minds. Fictional serial killer content feels somewhat different to me.
Yeah, so
I'm also fine. Yeah.
Justifying myself. But we need to stop talking about true crime.
Yeah, I'm like glamorizing
80% of true crime is not well done. The 20% that is should make you come away feeling poorly. Like, you should not come away from true crime being like, my new favorite murder. You should come away from true crime being like, wow, the criminal justice system is terrible and I'm so sorry for those people's families. Like, you should not be happy at the end of anything true crime related.
The only true crime that I really do enjoy is like scammers.
I love
a scammer. You know me.
I do too. So. It's true.
There's redeeming value in that, though. Like, you do learn. Don't go to Morocco with your random friend who you don't know anything about, and don't let her borrow your credit card to buy a bunch of stuff.
Also, no one dies at the end, and that feels easier to swallow.
Right. Right.
I'm like, no one died. Yeah, no one did die. Yeah.
No.
As far as I know.
I know.
I'm like,
did anyone die in the Anna Delvey story? No. Can't confirm.
Just some dignity.
We don't know.
Well, that's a perfect place to take a break. When we come back, I will be back with Moises and Kelsey, and we will continue being haters. We're counting down to our ultimate trends that need to stop in 2022. Stick around.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love. Books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, y'all. I hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening to ICYMI, then welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesday's, which was a mailbag episode where we answered the question of what exactly a Kev sexual is. Honestly, I'm not really sure at this point either, but you should definitely check it out. And I'm back with Kelsey and Moises, and we are talking about the things that we hate. So my third thing in my countdown is, it's slightly more serious in that I actually physically wanted to stop, is that thing where someone describes, and by someone I mean a non-Black person, describes like an AVE term as like internet language that needs to be stopped because it's annoying and overused. I most recently saw this with the word unserious. Someone was just like, unserious is the new annoying Twitter language and we all need to stop using it. And it's like, on some level, you're right. It is overused and misused by non-Black people, but also shut the fuck up. Like, you did this. This is your problem.
Exactly.
You overused this word that you didn't understand, and now we are all stuck here hearing all these bitches say unserious and purr when, like, we don't need that. That's not our fault. That is not my fault as a Black person. Like, collect your people before you start saying we're not using this word anymore.
The fear of being cringe is really so powerful. People really need to be more afraid of it because, like, if you're afraid to use a word that you've heard before, you're not sure what it means, don't.
Just don't.
Yeah. Don't.
And it's fine. Nobody's going to be mad at you. Actually, we're going to respect you more for not doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Kelsey.
Okay. My thing that I really want to end is I need people to stop calling everything they see on TikTok a TikTok challenge. This especially goes for parents. Like, just because you saw someone cooking chicken in NyQuil does not mean it is a TikTok challenge. It means it was one thing that happened on TikTok. Maybe a thing that happened a couple times on TikTok. Still not a challenge. And I don't want to, you know, discourage people from being crazy on the internet, because that's one of the true joys of, like, young people having access to a wider platform, is that they will do stupid stuff like that. But, like, if a principal is getting involved, like, that's when you need to take a step back. So I just need, I need the concept of TikTok challenges to stop. Let's start celebrating an insane viral video for what it is and not worry about throwing that label on there.
Same with trends. Like, not everything is a trend either, but everybody's just like, oh yeah, like, let's write about it because this is a trend. I'm like, it's really not. It happened in, like, one niche community, and everybody's blowing it up to make it seem as if it's this big moment online, and it's like, it's really not, but go off, sis.
I see a lot of people criticizing that there's, like, a name for every aesthetic now, and I love that.
Oh my God.
If I'm going to leave the house and I don't want to dress up, I'm going to be like, sorry, I have to go English woman running errands mode, and I have to put a giant scarf on. Like, that's just a
frazzled
fun
English
thing
woman.
To do.
Yeah, I saw that.
Exactly. But I don't want that taken from me, so I need people to stop, like, packaging things as, like, this is a TikTok thing. It's like, no, this is me having fun for once in my life.
Yes, let me just have this one thing.
Give me my frazzled English woman mode. Yeah.
My thing that I hate is YouTuber comebacks, because some of them don't work. And the first one I'll bring up is Shane Dawson. Stay in 2018. Shane Dawson is a popular creator on YouTube, and he's like one of the first most popular creators that like kind of solidified what you like being a YouTuber is online. And he has done some pretty not great things. I feel like we've had this conversation before. Like, honestly, he's just not a great person. I don't like him. I watched that one video to see what was in there, and it's just him going around being like, so like, tell me what you like about me. But then I was talking to my friend Deja last night, and she was like, did you know Sam Pepper was on TikTok? And I was like, he's on TikTok?
I haven't heard that name in 27 years.
I know.
Not Sam Pepper.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, Sam Pepper is this guy who used to do viral prank YouTube videos, but then it kind of got to a point where he was sexually assaulting people. And then everybody was like, please stop. This is not good. Canceled. Everyone like stopped talking to him. And he kind of like faded into obscurity. But with the rise of TikTok, he was able to find a new audience there. And now he's getting millions and millions of views on his TikTok account, which is insane. And I would like for it to stop because people need to know who he is.
Okay. This is I think we're now transitioning into our last mm-hmm. hater moment. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the one that should disappear the most, as in the clock strikes 12 on January 1st of 2023, and I never want to see this ever again. My last thing that should die is a big one, but it's the most important one. And it is capital mm-hmm. D discourse. I'm tired, and y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's on Twitter.
Unfortunately.
When one tweet that's just completely innocuous, or maybe it's not innocuous and it's dumb, but it should be ignored or privately mocked at best, mm-hmm. turns into weeks of discourse, and suddenly we're talking about it on CNN. Like, why do I know the words chilly neighbor? Why is reading ableist? Why is home cooking problematic? Why is art elitist? Why is enjoying coffee with your husband a bourgeoisie activity? Yeah. Why is a man owning a dog a sign that he wishes to dominate women? Like, what is going on? I am tired. Everyone needs to stop thinking in 2022, like, and 2023, like,
just vibes.
Let it wash over you. Like, none of this matters. And I know somebody is gonna come for me and be like, Rachel, some of these started as nuanced conversations on ableism, and no, they didn't. I was there. Don't gaslight mm-hmm. me. I spent all my time mm-hmm. online. B, even if it did, I feel like we should be more upset that it's turned into this. Like, yep. Is it not just diminishing actual conversations about ableism for it to be reduced down to making chili for your neighbors is ableist? Like, mm-hmm. Also, Twitter's not the place for nuance, and we know that. If you're going to have a conversation about nuance, do it in a place where people are going to take you in good faith, and that is not Twitter.com, and it never has been. So,
nope.
Capital D discourse. TM, over, canceled, we're done with it. We see a dumb tweet, we laugh, we send it to our friends, and that's it. We're not discoursing, we're not talking about Marx. Yep. None of it.
Oh, God.
That is me.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I've been holding that in for a while, mostly because I have to talk about it on this show all the time. People are just like, what is going on with Anna Martell? Why are we talking about Lockheed Martin? And I'm just like,
I don't know. Lockheed Martin.
Like, did we get the phrase nepotism hire at the war crimes factory?
Yeah. Yes.
And that was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
But was it worth it in the end? I don't think so.
It never was.
Like, I just, again, I feel like I wouldn't need therapy if there wasn't discourse.
Yeah.
Save a lot of money on therapy, yeah. That makes sense.
My producer is dragging me in the chat replies right now, but you don't know. If there was no discourse, I might be mentally healthy.
We'll see.
All right. I've said my piece. That is my last thing. Mm-hmm. What is y'all's? The thing that needs to vanish, like, you know, Thanos snap. I still haven't seen that movie, but I know what that means.
Oh, my God. For me, it's going to have to be, like, the glorification of billionaires. I'm just not interested. Let's start from the beginning. I'm not interested in the fact that they wake up at 4 a.m. That's not for me. That's not ever going to be something that I do. I don't want to be like a person just because they've made a lot of money, because oftentimes the secret to wealth is your dad having an emerald mine. And that's just kind of it. Exactly. Here's the thing about Elon Musk. Don't like him, but it's not even like him who bothers me as much as like the people who are obsessed with him and like in his replies being like, yes, King, so brilliant. He's not good at posting. All he has to offer the world is that he has been given money that he now can use to do a bunch of stuff. So I just think that we need to stop glorifying billionaires. It's going to be hard for me to figure out how I will make that work with Rihanna due to loving her, but...
Don't even get me started. You know, she's on thin ice right now from a stan.
But yeah, I just, it's the fanboying, the fangirling, the fan gender neutral terming
of the dick riding.
Yeah, there you go.
The dick riding, there you go.
Like, why do I keep seeing Mr. Beast, like, you know, the very popular YouTuber constantly in his mentions, like, just kiss and move on.
For my last big thing that I want to, like, just... completely disappear. And I know this is weird coming from someone who's like, I love scammers, but like just like internet grifters in general, but like the most insane kinds, because I'm doing something right now about the Liver King and I can't stop thinking about this man.
Love him.
And it is actually insane. I do love him, but I'm scared of him.
No, I mean, he is not a good person, but like
from
an anthropological perspective.
Like, we have evolved like past him, but or have we, who knows, but in that sense, like, he's just, it's just so pervasive on my social medias now because he like admitted to using steroids when he said that he didn't, like following this weird, you know, ancestral
lifestyle.
I remember the episode you guys did about him blowing up a bed. Incredible. Like, I had to explain to my editor who he was, and I said, oh, let me tell you. And it was like a paragraph long on Slack of like, well, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, yeah. So can I write about him? And she goes, do what you have to do. And I was like, thank you.
See, you say you don't want, you want internet grifters to go away. And yet.
And yet,
here you are covering
you profit. And yet, you participate in society.
I'm solidifying him into internet culture history. I know, but I think I'm just tired of seeing them. Like, for me personally,
completely
like, I don't
valid.
Care about them. Yeah, I could totally do with like never having to see one ever again. But I think there's a difference between a grifter and a scammer.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, Sophia is my favorite scammer of all time. Surviving Sophia, wrote about her for Rolling Stone. And that was one of my favorite stories to do because that story was insane. But, like, he's just, like, trying to take money from, like, anyone that he can, you know? And, like, selling supplements. Weird.
It is really weird, especially considering what's in those supplements. Liver. Anyway. I think it's time to actually do a vibe shift into some positivity. Maybe let's end on a good note, which is, you know, before we go, before the ball drops in internet square, do you have any internet resolutions for the New Year's, for 2023? Anything you want to do on the internet? Anything you want to stop doing on the internet? I think mine is genuinely to stop engaging in discourse. I want to just...
Your brain will thank you.
The reflexive, I need to quote tweet this bad tweet that everyone else is quote tweeting to show that I also have like a clever reply, but also because I genuinely think this is terrible. I'm going to try to stop doing that. All right, Kelsey.
Okay, not to be contrarian, but 2022 for me was a year of giving up. And so I just like, I stopped posting. I stopped caring. I read a lot of books this year. Like, I just kind of
we love
gave
a literary
up.
Queen.
Like, caring.
Yeah, I was nice. Not for me, though. I think I'm going to start posting more. I think I'm also going to be more unhinged. Here's the thing, and if I can be completely honest, I've stopped posting because it was making me go nuts, and I miss the attention. So I will resume posting, not for
Discourse. She has a new hair color. She has show off the hair.
The rumors are true. I used to be blonde, and now I am brunette, and now I'm acting different.
She is.
You know, maybe I'll stop thinking about what other people are posting so much and thinking about the discourse and just become the poster I want to see in the world. Wow. I don't know what that looks like.
So wholesome. I would say that I feel like I'm very conscious about everything that I post, and I want to be a little more unhinged.
Yes, because,
yeah, I think it's time to be a little bimbo vibes online. And just give it up, you know? So yeah. I think that's my vibe. I think I'm like too curated, especially like my grid post, because I don't post that often on the grid. But I think on Twitter and on Instagram, Instagram, I'm very like, you know, let me just be my best self. Maybe I could just be like, you know, maybe I'll go goblin mode.
Okay, thank you. Goblin mode and being real are different. I want to put that out there.
I know.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's a good distinction. And I've recently gone goblin mode on Instagram, and it's really great.
Yeah, which I think I love that whatever dictionary declared goblin mode the word of the year, because it was like fully, you know, it was a joke. We know this. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. It's not a real thing. Yeah. But then it became a thing. And that's the beauty of the internet.
Yeah. It really is. That's a perfect place to end on our collective manifestation of goblin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank y'all so much for joining me. This has been a beautiful hating hour for me. I love it.
I feel like I got it all out. So thank you for letting us do this with you.
I'm so cleansed and ready for, I have more space to hate more things now.
Wow. Yeah, this was therapy. Exactly. I'll be charging you $150 after this.
Honestly, the best $150 I would have ever spent. So thank you.
Watch out for that Venmo charge. All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss me being an absolute hater. If you want to be a hater with us, please follow us on Twitter at @icym_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions like, what should I be hating right now? And you can also always drop us a note at icymindslate.com. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. It really does help new people find the show. ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and me, Rachel Hampton. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online in 2023.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone's like buzzing my door, and it's so annoying, and they won't stop. I know it's not for me because they're buzzing like all the freaking apartments here, but we're good. Oh my God. They stopped.
That's so annoying. Okay.
It's Sam Hummer. I can't imagine.